I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. If you had asked me last week what the biggest story by far of this week would be, I would not have said an international incident involving the NBA and China. But that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and by the Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Ben, you've been covering this story nonstop, so I'm sure it will be difficult to keep this short, but what should listeners know here?
Listeners should know that the NBA is in the middle of one of the most bizarre, most troubling, and probably the most consequential stories that the league has experienced for a very long time, certainly of Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner's tenure, and it all started with a tweet from Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, and it was an image that said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." And that tweet came as the NBA was descending on China for its annual trip to Shanghai, and it was not appreciated by the government in Beijing. You described it as an international incident, which sounds both absurd and true, shockingly enough. China pulled Houston Rockets games from state-run broadcasts, and the initial response from the league was really not very clear and left itself open for misinterpretation. And the NBA had to come back about 48 hours later and offer a more forceful statement in which the league clarified what it was trying to say the first time it tried to say this. So it has been a wild week, and it has touched off questions about free speech and how U.S. businesses should operate in an oppressive regime. I mean, it's one of those stories that I think we're all still trying to wrap our heads around it.
Mike, I know you've been following the story all week, too. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, and I've been mostly following the media reaction to the story, sports bloviators, and the word that is on their lips more than any is complex or complicated. And the thing is, to anyone who's been reading the great Ben Cohen in the Wall Street Journal, who I recommend,
me too,
even just a little bit, it's not that complicated. What I mean is the actual tweet, the actual sentiment expressed by Daryl Morey to stand with the Hong Kong protesters is not complicated. It is obviously true that these people want civil rights that they had, and the oppressive regime of China wants them not to have those civil rights. He tweeted an obviously correct thing on a platform, Twitter, that isn't even allowed in China. And ESPN, with their corporate interests, you know, the people who own ESPN are Disney, and Disney has so much business interest in China, not the least of which is a $5.5 billion theme park that they literally co-own with the government of China. ESPN has been horrible in terms of getting any straight story on this, but the Wall Street Journal has been good.
ESPN, we should say, has a policy, apparently, that its people aren't allowed to talk about the story behind Morey's tweet. So they're allowed to say, oh, China is very upset, but they're not allowed to explain what the situation in Hong Kong is that caused the tweet in the first place. But Ben, I want to bring the conversation around to this question, and it does, in fact, come from one of the pieces you contributed to in the Wall Street Journal. The NBA is not the first organization to face this sort of pressure from China. Other businesses have all apologized. And here's the quote. "There are other hotels, airlines, and clothing brands. There is only one NBA. Do you think that's enough to get the NBA through this without an apology?
I think that has been the most fascinating question of this entire saga. It appears that it might be. We have seen some evidence that China has taken steps to de-escalate the situation. But the idea of the NBA apology is a really interesting one here, because most people in the United States took their original statement on Sunday night as an apology, even though it was not meant to be an apology. It was apologetic, but it wasn't supposed to be an apology. Now, the most interesting part about that is that China did not accept it as an apology. So the NBA found itself under fire in the U.S. for apologizing and under fire in China for not apologizing. And that is sort of emblematic of the tricky situation that it has encountered.
All right, Mike, there was apparently some other sports slash politics news this week.
Yeah, apparently is a good word. I don't know if you knew this, but...
I didn't know this, just to say.
Cory Booker unveiled a plan to end exploitation in sports. And basically what it is a list of every kind of progressive policy proposal that has ever, in the last 5 years, addressed athletes in sports, which doesn't say it's bad, right? It's right. Just a grab bag. It's everything.
So it's everything.
It's a little bit of the California rule about players in the NCAA owning their likeness. It's a lot about, for instance, Senator Chris Murphy's idea to, quote, bring transparency and accountability and improve educational outcomes, basically by keeping track of things like graduation rates of black athletes. But it goes so far as to, and this has got to be a first for a presidential candidate, end exploitative labor practices for NFL cheerleaders and NBA dancers. I don't mean to minimize it. The NFL cheerleaders get paid and the NBA dancers get paid a pittance. But we got a presidential policy about it. This is the one place where he could say, actually, Elizabeth Warren, I'm the only one who has a plan for that.
Well, I'm curious. I would like to know from Mike, what are the odds of this bill actually passing?
It's like 14 bills.
Well,
yeah, it's not a bill.
The plan coming to fruition.
The New Deal for jocks. Well, according to the betting markets, Cory Booker has about a 3% chance of getting elected. So, look, a lot of these things, actually, when it comes to sports, there is a lot of bipartisan appeal to it. So there are, in fact, a lot of things in this bill that probably would pass. It's just a question of, if you have only so much time to enact an agenda, how much priority do you put on the NBA dancers?
I was wondering if Cory Booker just saw California Governor Gavin Newsom sitting in a barber chair next to LeBron James and thought, I need to get in on that action, right? Like, that's where I need to be. But I think that maybe what's happening to Cory Booker here is what happens to us who work in sports journalism, which is that we think deeply about these issues in sports and we end up in kind of an echo chamber. But then I get letters and tweets from our listeners who say, what the heck are you talking about? You're all crazy. Stop messing with my sports. And I'm wondering if Booker is overestimating how far voters have come on these issues.
I think that people want justice, and they actually retreat to sports because it is more or less fair. It tries to be fair. I don't think there's a huge appetite. And if we were to rank the issues, this wouldn't be in the top 100 in public salience or actual importance. But I think it actually could only help in terms of a candidate signaling that these are some of the things I'm thinking of, and these are some of the kind of agenda items that could define my presidency.
He picked a heck of a week to combine sports and politics in this way. There's really no one talking about that collision.
That's the exquisite timing that has defined his campaign thus far.
All right, so we are a sports show. It's about time to talk about an actual sport. You all good with that? Can we do
that?
All right, cool. After 22 months of hype, the XFL draft has finally been set for next week. This will be the return of the league that first and last played in 2001 and fills us with nostalgia about the guy who played with He Hate Me instead of his name on the back of his jersey. This is a gamble that has failed many times before, most recently when the Alliance of American Football folded 8 games into a 10-game season earlier this year. The AAF lost a ton of money, and they said they could have made a go of it if they'd had deep enough pockets to lose $750 million in the first few years. Vince McMahon's pockets are apparently deep enough, but is money really all that matters?
I just hope he has a pretty good strategy for China after this week, honestly. No, I mean, clearly, if this is not going to make money, it's not going to last very long. But, you know, one of the things that I'm really curious about is who the people who announced the draft picks are going to be. Like, can we get He Hate Me up on the stage to bro hug the number one pick in the XFL draft?
I'd be into that. Mike, what do you think?
The commissioner of the XFL is Oliver Luck, who's Andrew Luck's father. Yeah. It would be interesting if the XFL were a little like what a state is supposed to be, to bring it back to politics, a laboratory for democracy. It would be kind of cool if the NFL had, maybe they could work with a league like this and to try out different rules. And this way we could tell that the challenging interference on a replay would be a disaster. But in general, I do not trust Vince McMahon or the McMahon family to do anything with a modicum of ethics. So I'm really quite worried about how this will be. Let's just hope no one gets seriously hurt.
Yeah.
Has Oliver Luck convinced Andrew to play quarterback in the XFL yet?
Let's hope not. Let's really, really hope not. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and The Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.